And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
The life of an American woman in London. Yes, Muslim Zachariah Bolhan, a Somalian refugee in London. He's the animal. He's the animal who butchered an American terrorist and left four others injured in a knife attack about 10:30 last night in London. Of course, London mayor, the Muslim London mayor, says nothing to worry about. Don't worry. A guy just had mental health problems. It's not terrorist related. And Obama, of course, right there with him. It's a conspiracy of silence on the Hagman and Hagman Report tonight, as we bring you the news, the information behind the news right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in Northwest Pennsylvania. We broadcast live every weeknight, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, of course. I'm Doug Hagman with Joe Hagman together, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. But, you know, I was criticized for being dramatic the other night. Dramatic. I guess when you take a 19-year-old Somalian and you butcher an American woman on the streets of London, that's not dramatic, but I am. I guess when you have 8,000 Syrians in this country illegally, 99.5% Muslim, shielded by the Department of Homeland Security, who grants temporary protection status, TPS status, when they have no authority. That's not dramatic, is it? No. These animals who adhere to the death cult of Islam, that's not dramatic. You know, the ones that slit open the throats of Catholic priests and smile about it, that's not dramatic. And of course, the conspiracy of silence that is adhered to by the mass media, the corporate mass media, the people in the chairs behind the microphones and behind the cameras, who will do anything, have sold their souls for a seat at the globalist table, to remain silent. It's not dramatic, is it? Just another day at the park, right? We've got the United Nations backing secret Obama takeover of police. That's right. Obama dances with Muslims. Dances while this country is being led to slaughter. And we told you this was going to happen. We told you that Obama was a Muslim. We told you that Obama had a questionable past and pedigree. And there was laughter. There was mocking. And then you've got this leftist Marxist Pope sitting in the Vatican. And if this offends Catholics, what can I tell you? I'm not assailing Catholics. I'm talking about the Marxist Pope that we've got in the Vatican, who blames terrorism not on Islam, but on capitalism. We've got terrorism and immigration being it's all propaganda, according to the Illuminati-controlled mass media. And then you've got the father of the hero that was killed in the war brought out by the DNC, who's been exposed for what he is. But you've got the conspiracy of silence behind them, gripping the media, because they refuse to come out with the truth, because the truth, of course, would expose Obama, would expose the DNC, would expose the people on the right and on the left, the globalists, who are nothing but puppets of the puppet masters that are leading this country and the West into their deaths. You've got Huma Abedin, the body girl for Hillary, Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton, who's connected to the Saudis. And of course, a conspiracy of silence around that. You got people like George Stephanopoulos, who's got to correct Obama, even back in 08, about his Muslim faith. Folks, I believe, it's my personal belief, that God hates cowards. And as Christians, we're not called to be cowards. We're called to saddle for battle. Are we not? And if you don't want to take action in that, if you don't want to saddle for battle, if you don't want to fight when the battle is brought to you, that's on you. But I, for one, know what I'm going to do. We're witnessing something called Hijra. It's a jihad through Muslim invasion. We're witnessing the empowerment of evil, and evil being the weaponized Muslim army in this country. We're witnessing slaughter after slaughter after slaughter after slaughter of Christians around the globe, and the conspiracy of silence that has gripped the progressive Marxists in this country from the top of the regime in Washington to the pews of the churches in America. You've got fear coming from the churches. We can't afford to tolerate. We can't afford to offend. We can't afford to offend. Offending, we could lose our 501c3 status. We could lose whatever is in the collection plate. We could lose numbers, and that wouldn't be good. Fear, as in my view, has given way to what should be boldness in the face of evil. And if that sounds dramatic to you, if I sound dramatic to you, I hope I do. Because how much more dramatic can it be? How much more drama do we need to see in America, across the globe? Do you think that is it going to take a sacrifice of a politician, of a presidential hopeful. To be dramatic, is it going to take the sacrificing of a child on live TV in on the streets of Washington, D.C., to be dramatic? When are the Christians going to say enough is enough? And more importantly, when are Christians going to rise up and say, I'm done? You're not going to muzzle me. When are Christian pastors going to rise up and say, not here, not anymore. I am going to stand firmly for my faith, in my faith. We all have to stand up. We have a choice to make. We can make a difference, ladies and gentlemen. The new media can make a difference. If you're listening to this show, you can make a difference. But not if you succumb to the conspiracy of silence. Not if you play wimp in the face of adversity, in the face of evil. How dare anyone? How dare anyone not speak up in the face of evil? How dare anyone accuse others of being intolerant when blood is being shed all across the globe and there's a war against Christians, a war on Christianity? When Christian doctrine is being perverted, how dare you call yourself a Christian and sit there and shut up and not say a word? We've got no right to do that. We have an obligation to stand up. It is 1775, maybe. it is maybe the days before World War I. But you're going to be called upon, if you're listening to this broadcast and you're living today, you're going to be called upon to make a choice. And the choices may seem hard, but they're really simple. They may not be easy, but they're certainly going to be simple. You either choose life, meaning eternal life, or you choose eternal damnation. But you see, in my view, failing to choose, choosing to remain silent, you've made a choice. That's your choice. Succumbing to the evil and twisted and perverse doctrine of political correctness is a choice. Accepting the fact that 4,000 or whatever the number is, unborn children per day in this country are snuffed out and sacrificed to the god Moloch. That's your, if you say nothing, then you're complicit in my view. And how dare anyone turn their guns inward on people attempting to make a difference? You know, one thing that we do have, we've got the numbers. We can win solely on the numbers, can't we? We can win by just showing up. Unlike the people who were turned away at the Trump rally when they cut off the numbers at 1,000 when 4,000 was the capacity. Why didn't the people say, wait a minute, wait, this is wrong? Why aren't more people speaking up and speaking out? What's your excuse? Not you, the audience, but what's your excuse if you just happened on this radio show? What's your excuse? What's your excuse for not following your conscience and God What's your excuse for tolerating transgendered bathrooms? The myth, the lie. What's your excuse for tolerating the lie of the LGBT community? What's our collective excuse for allowing 1.5 to 3% of the population to dictate the rules and the policies of 97% of the population? We can win on the numbers alone, but we choose not to. How dare anyone come back and say, you know, didn't realize Obama would have done this, done what he's done. He told you what he was going to do. And we, individually and collectively, in the new media, in the alternative media, in this media, we told you what was going to happen. We had insiders tell us what the plans were, and the plans are steamrolling ahead. Full force. He's got, what, 97 days left in office? You don't think the world can change in 97 days? It could change in 97 seconds. And it's changing that quickly right now. The conspiracy of silence has... the name of the program tonight. I'm not certainly going to dominate the program. Of course, I'm Doug Hagman. Those who don't know me and my son Joe Hagman, we are in this program together. But I wanted to set the tone, the tenor of tonight's program. Because, folks, I'm on the offensive. I am righteously angry, and I'm on the offensive. And I think we all need to be on the offensive now. I'm not talking about violence. I'm not talking about anything illegal, immoral. Certainly not. I'm talking about righteously walking the path and making a difference in your lives, in the lives of people around you, in the lives of your family. If you woke up this morning and you are a Christian male, ask yourself, what have you done today to advance the agenda, the Christian agenda? What have you done in your walk, in your walk of faith? Have you just chosen, opted to, have you just, did you just choose just to smack someone else around on a blog or on Facebook or on social networking, or write some drivel criticizing somebody or something because, oh, they're just not doing it right. They're not walking right with the Lord. No. They can't do it that way. Or are you truly making a difference? I know what Steve Quayle has gone through. 25 years. And the reason I mention that is because we have our share of critics and people who struggle for relevance. And the only way they could struggle for relevance, or the only way they could attain relevance, is to break down others, whether it be us or anyone of the truth-telling media people out there. And they're very few. But you know what? We are in the fight of our lives, and if you don't know it right now, we can't help you. You are too far gone. If you are not convinced today, sitting there today at your computer or in your car listening to this broadcast, if you're not convinced that we are in the fight of our lives, do me a favor. Turn off the computer, turn off the radio, turn off your iPhone, iPod, iPad, whatever you might be listening to, and go to Chuck E. Cheese's. or some fun house somewhere and enjoy yourself. Because you either have to lead, follow a leader, or get out of the way. Because I'll tell you something, we are saddling for battle. It's time to saddle for battle. It's time to expose the wiles even further of the globalists. It's time to call a spade a spade. Oh, wait! Can't do that! I think I just committed a word crime. Wait, let me reverse the shirt. Don't tread on me that I've got, because I don't want to offend anyone. It's time for us to wear the shirt. Don't tread on me. What do you mean by that? Where'd that come from? Because we must not succumb to the perversion of political correctness any longer. This country, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, this country does not have a problem with intolerance. We've got a problem with tolerance. We tolerate the slaughter of the unborn. We tolerate homosexual sodomite behavior. And we tolerate perversion of all types. We tolerate perversion of doctrine. We tolerate everything in the name of Christianity. In a way, if you're a Christian. But you see, by itself, that's a perversion of Christianity. Well, it's time now to choose sides. Now, the last time I said that, was I taken to task? I don't care anymore. Because the gloves are off. This is a new day. It's a new time. And see, if you don't stand up now and choose sides, and if you don't get active right now and choose sides, I'm going to tell you something. Your children may not have the opportunity to spit on your grave. They may be swinging from a hemp rope in a FEMA camp, or be subjugated by a Muslim. Folks, we are watching the systematic planned destruction of this country. You know that. You knew that. I don't have to tell you that. As Joe has done so much research today, I watched him, and I became angry.
Watch me fight with my computer more than anything.
Yeah. You see, I'm angry. I'm angry at those people who have taken this country and turned it into a toxic waste dump of human, third world, Muslim, moon god loving perverts. It's time that we now take a stand. We continue pushing forward to expose the evil that has permeated this society, that this country, the Western culture. It's time that we tell Facebook to shut up and go away. It's time that we get off of Facebook and tell that internationalist Zuckerberg that we don't only not need him, we don't want him. It's time to recognize the depth, the absolute depth of the social engineering that has been taking place for the last 50 plus years. It's time to realize, and I know that to many I'm preaching to the choir, but it's time to realize that there's no difference between Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, Newt Gingrich, and Bernie Sanders. You think there is? Ah, there's nothing. It's time to call upon the very people who have sold us into slavery and bondage, at least in this generation. And it's time to hold them to account. If we don't do it, who will? This is kind of a, I don't know, when I was thinking about what I was going to say. This is kind of hopefully both informational and inspirational, but when you look at Jay Johnson from the Department of Homeland Security exercising an authority he doesn't have by granting 8,000 illegals living in this country who crossed the border, overstayed their visas, and said you can stay in this country for another 18 months and you can even work here. It's time to tell them enough is enough and declare war on such insanity and tell them we ain't going to take it anymore. And to those people who want to take issue with what I said, get out of the way. Because we are saddling for battle. We are one. We are moving forward, and we will prevail.
We do not pay ransom, Obama declares, calling criticism of Iran deal illogical, as well as the UN secretly backing Obama's police takeover. Welcome back to the Hagen on Hagen Report, folks. Before we get back to our show, I want to give you a quick word from Minuteman Stove. Folks, go to MinutemanStove.com. Check out their Minuteman Rocket Stove. This is a very convenient and portable way to cook your food using simply wood and something to light the wood in times of camping or when you're in the middle of a storm or situation where you find yourself without power or in the worst case scenario. It's reinforced ammo can with 1/8-inch steel welded on with a burner. They come with fire starters and are very easy to clean, easy to use, and believe it or not, energy efficient. Folks, go to MinutemanStove.com and check out Minuteman Rocket Stoves. They are a must-have for your survival and preparations. Bug-out bags. Have one in the car. Keep one around. You never know when you might need it. That's MinutemanStove.com. We got a lot of things to get into tonight.
I just want to say, Joe, thanks for letting me just air out my thoughts that first segment. You know, when I was watching you do research and looking at all of the news items, I'm thinking to myself, there's so much to do and so little time. And you've really, I don't know how you keep track of all those papers, but, I see you're tabbed, color coded and ready to rock. So I'm going to get out of your way for a little bit anyway.
Well, this first one, we're going to do this together because this is one that you handed to me right before the show started that I've already, had read up on. UN-backed secret Obama takeover of police. Found this very interesting. Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice has provided oversight and recommendations for improvement of police services in a number of cities with consent decrees. This is one of the most effective ways to reduce discrimination in law enforcement, and it needs to be beefed up and increased to cover as many of the 18,000 plus local law enforcement jurisdictions.
Now, keep in mind, there are 3,144 sheriff's departments across the United States. All right?
Those are just sheriff's departments.
Right.
This does not include local, state, police.
Right. But when in the against that backdrop, and the reason I mention this now, Joe, is because I want people to understand, when you're in the county, it doesn't matter what county or what parish you're in, who's the highest local law enforcement agent of that county? Would be the county sheriff. Sheriff. Right. So,
even though they've been stripped of a lot of their powers, they still
correct.
Are
correct. But I just want people to keep that in mind, that the sheriff in your county is the highest, the strongest law enforcement agency of your area. Now, against the backdrop of this secret Obama takeover of police departments in the Civil Rights Division of the DOJ. Which is nothing more than a federal takeover, well, a UN takeover by federal means.
Right. The UN's backing this. This is something that Obama came out and said in 2009 that he wanted a civilian or independent police force, independent in the sense that it was not affiliated with any local state municipalities. But the much-feared nationalization of local police departments is already being initiated by the Obama administration's Justice Department, and somehow nobody noticed. The Obama administration has been pursuing the federal takeover of local police right under the Congress's nose.
This stuff is happening while we're distracted by things like political theater of all types, right?
And the political theater, folks, that has been the brainwashing headlines of the news over the last 8 months and will continue to be for the next 8 months. I mean, we talked about it a little bit last night and at length on other shows.
Yep.
These new attacks on Trump, no matter where you go, left media, right media, independent media, all it is Trump's dropping out of the race. I found out today that it was Newt Gingrich who was the one who put it out there that they need to intervene on Trump's campaign and get him back on track.
What a sniveling, greasy snake.
Yeah.
And you know, all of these career politicians, I remember my dad, your grandfather, and this is something that I wish you would have been able to know him. He fought in World War II in the Philippines and very proud of his country. But toward the end of his life, he realized that things were not as they appear. And his life, of course, was cut short by cancer, where was I going with that?
We were talking about Grandpa and
yeah, I know, but
his patriotism and I wish I would have known.
Yeah, I wish
he died when I was 12 years old.
Yeah,
so I didn't know him. For those out there listening, but never got to have any real deep conversations, especially getting older and as an adult.
But see, he was, and believe it or not, folks, he was a staunch Democrat. Oh my goodness, was he! And we used to have some spirited discussions. But see, he would not. I mean, at this point, he would have said, look, there's something terribly wrong, obviously. I believe that to be the case. Of course, I don't know.
I mean, just what I know of him now, he would never be a Democrat in this climate.
No. But I mean, if anything, you know, the political atheism, as I think we all are. But you know, you were talking, of course, about the UN backing the secret Obama takeover of police. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing here, if you distill this to what it really is, it's the overthrow, number one, of the sheriffs, the highest law enforcement authority of the respective 3,144 counties. It's all part of this long-term agenda. And I really want to drive this home.
I mean, reading this, it's very, very sneaky.
Yes.
The way this has been set up.
Well, you know what? This is part of the bigger agenda. This was what America was created for, the creation of a second attempt at a world government. If you look at the dollar bill, it's all right there, the pyramid with the all-seeing eye. And that's kind of in the larger sense. It's Marxism, federal oversight where none belongs. I mean, is it not, Joe? I mean, look at this. And then you've got people who say, well, wait a minute, the police departments would never go along with something like this.
Well,
they are.
They
are.
In full agreement. And they're doing this through consent decrees.
Yes.
Yes. And I guess I'm going to have to read part of this to explain this to the audience. Consent decrees are already being implemented in Newark, New Jersey, Miami, Florida, Los Angeles, California, Ferguson, Missouri, Chicago, Illinois, and other municipalities. The Civil Rights Division at the Department of Justice files a lawsuit in federal court against a city, county, or state, alleging constitutional and civil right violations by the police or at a corrections facility. Now, this is done under 42 United States Code 14141, a section of the 1994 Violent Crime Control Law Enforcement Act, granting the Attorney General the power to prosecute law enforcement misconduct. The municipality then simply agrees to the judicial findings without consent, and the result is wide-reaching federal court order that imposes regulations on local police. The federal court orders are designed to undo Rudy Giuliani-style policing tactics that were effective at reducing crime in big cities in the 1990s and the year 2000. The federal requirements include how searches are conducted, what constitutes legitimate use of force, mandatory use of on-body cameras by the police, and so forth. The agreements impose year-long compliance review regimes, implementation deadlines, and regular reviews by federal bureaucrats that make local police directly answerable to the Civil Rights Division at the DOJ.
And there it is. You see, the Department of, what you're seeing is the federalization of police departments. And this is where the Humvees come in, and the hardened vehicles and the weaponry that we see deployed on our streets. The UN world government minded, globalists have it in their minds to federalize all the police forces. Yes, all of them. And then, but to what end? To grant them federal powers, but to what end?
These consent
take away our guns, though.
The DOJ's consent decrees with cities, even though the agreements have been implemented for years, Congress has been unadvised of this, and they've not heard a word on this topic. The lack of oversight is pathetic, the article says. But to make matters even worse, this could actually be the first step in a new wide-ranging body of federal rules on local police. The Department of Housing and Urban Development regulation affirmatively furthering fair housing actually originated as a consent decree in 2009. Now,
I you know what, Joe? Let me just interject this. I can hear people out there saying, well, wait a minute, that's unconstitutional. You know, and here we live in the United States, and we have people right now listening in Europe, in Australia, New Zealand. God bless each and every one of you, Canada. But see, in a nation where the laws are conditionally enforced, regulations really are created out of thin air. And the Constitution only prohibits what we're willing to fight to prohibit. And we're not willing to fight this. Or we don't know about it to fight it. So this, and I want people to really understand that what's going on here. Joe, I mean, this is, to me, this is so important because this is being ushered in under the guise of, well, we have to reduce discrimination in law enforcement. We have to make sure that everyone's civil rights are protected. So the oversight goes over this. We have to put this under the federal mandate, federal authority. But ultimately, what this ultimately is doing is throwing this under the United Nations Governance Human Rights Committee. And if you look at the Human Rights Committee and where this is headed,
yeah,
the U.S. Department of Second and Third Periodic Report of the United States of America to the U.N. Committee on Human Rights concerning the International Covenant on Civil Rights and Political Rights. Check that out, because it's dated back in 2005, and it covers the implementation of specific provisions of this very covenant, and with the ultimate objective, not just equality, not just protection, but the ultimate objective is to disarm, prohibit the sale of firearms to the public, and strengthen it under the United Nations control. Believe it or not, there it is.
And it's summing this all up. It says, as Americans for Limited Government, President Rick Manning noted in a statement calling attention to the UN's interest in the DOJ program and urging Congress to act, the fact that the UN Human Rights Council, which includes some of the worst abusers of human rights in the world that also hate the United States, is cheering for the Department of Justice national takeover of police. This should tell members everything they need to know. It's time to support local police, the article says, not render them impotent via federal restrictions against law and order. No less than the very existence of local government is at stake.
Well, you know, this from our mailbag, I received an email from Pam G. Now, about this very topic. Now, Pam, we are taking this. I am taking this in the loving spirit that it was meant, but I just want to, let me just share this with Joe, with you and the public. She writes that our job is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to lost souls, so they can be saved. Mm-hmm. We are to make disciples of those souls. It's got nothing to do with America or taking moral stands, changing the government, counting on a presidential candidate, or worrying about the economy. Now, we understand that, okay? However, when you consider we walk across the United States, or we walk on whatever state you're in, whatever county, city you're in the United States, or wherever you are in the West, how does one, I mean, yes, we have to preach the gospel. We have to appeal to the salvation of others, or work for that. But the vehicles, at the same time, we have to realize that the government has, and Joe, maybe you can even help me explain this, because we are living under a system of governance where Christians believe, for example, that they've got to subjugate or they've got to acquiesce their beliefs to governmental rules, arbitrary governmental rules, I might add.
You know, we have biblical examples and from the words of Jesus himself to his apostles that talk about our behavior and our attitudes and mindsets when it comes to civil and governmental issues. You know, many of the you know, the clergy response teams, how they will use Romans 13, Chuck Baldwin explains it well, and many others have, where it says, submit yourself to governments. Now, it's one thing to submit yourself to a government. It's another thing,
right? I mean,
to submit yourself to an evil. You submit yourself to the government so long as it is not making you do things that are against God's law.
Well, let me ask you, Joe. Okay, here we have Pam, and God bless you, Pam. Thank you for being very nice in your email, and I mean that. But are we not, where we see a government, meaning the United States government, the federal government, and people made of real people giving money to Planned Parenthood to kill the unborn. Are we not to take a stand? Are we not to fight at that level? Are we not biblically mandated, scripturally mandated, to take a stand and say, no, this is wrong?
Well, let's look at the example of Nebuchadnezzar and the image that he made, that when the trumpets and horns sounded, that all were to bow to him and his statue under his government in Babylon. We see the example of Daniel, who refused to bow. Well, if we were supposed to submit ourselves to all, you know, forms and governments and all their what they want, you know, whatever they want, if we're supposed to submit to that, why was Daniel saved from the punishment that the government tried to give him for not complying? Because it was him standing up in his faith in the Lord rather than obeying man in a law that is against the Lord.
And I think that speaks directly to the heart of Pam's email. And again, we, Pam, God bless you. We do take this in the spirit, in the kind spirit, in which it was sent. However, we live in a world where government is imposing upon Christians untenable, policies, practices.
In Romans 12 is Romans 12 verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And it goes on from there. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And it goes on from there.
So, okay. So in the context of what we're seeing today, because we are now, like it or not, in America, we are facing, we are looking at really a constitutional crisis. We are facing, we're enduring, I guess is the word, an election, enduring an election, where we have to select a candidate that best reflects our ideology and hopefully will protect, not just protect, but advance our Christian faith, allow us the environment in which to practice and preach. Am I right? So we have to address this. Because otherwise,
it goes further in Romans,
we would not be, okay, go ahead. Yeah.
It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. And then it goes in Romans 12:4. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not.
Okay.
So when I read that,
yeah,
we talked about this the other day about loving your enemies.
Yes.
Now, if we go back to the beginning of Romans, what I already read, the first verse in Romans 12, that we are living bodies, and we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. This is a spiritual thing. Our bodies and our minds, instantly, when somebody says something against us or does something against us, we get angry.
Sure.
We get defensive. So when it says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, they're speaking spiritually and physically about what to do here. because we can't physically bless somebody who persecutes us. Spiritually, we can.
Sure.
But the curse and curse not, that's a physical thing. So, I mean, the spiritual and the physical are tied up here. But back to the point.
Yes.
We are to love each other. We are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We are first to love God, first and foremost, above all things. And secondly, to love one another. We are, and we're given the Ten Commandments, as well as the example of Jesus Christ. These are our examples of how to live. Jesus did say, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Now, when they went to sacrifice him, he did not... What did Pontius Pilate say to him? Something along the lines of why aren't you defending yourself? I can kill you. He says, I'm going to have to look the verse up. Basically, paraphrasing, he says, I am sacrificing myself, that you're not taking anything from me.
But that was also a prophetic fulfillment as well.
Absolutely. The point I'm trying to make here is there's a fine balancing act we have here. Because we are in the physical world.
Yep.
We do tend to err on the side of human nature rather than our spiritual nature.
Sure.
Which is a mistake that all of us make constantly. And for those who don't make it as much, that's awesome.
Yeah. We all strive for that, to be more spiritual than physical? I think we do. So.
And that comes to the point of, back to this point of obedience. We are to be obedient to God first. We are to be obedient to a righteous government.
We
are not to be obedient to evil ever.
Right, exactly. And that's kind of, Pam, that's what we're talking about here. And I want to thank you, for that email. That's what we're talking about here, because we cannot accept or be obedient to or comply with, and certainly not facilitate evil.
Or be silent in the face of it.
In the face of it. That's correct. And I love Bob and Maggie for, I don't want to give any other names out, but thank you. I mean, evil, we must stand up in the face of evil. But getting back very quickly before the end of this segment, the UN backing this secret Obama takeover of police, people need to take notice of this, because the United Nations, the UN Human Rights Council, is really working quickly on this initiative, folks. The Civil Rights Division at the Department of Justice files a lawsuit in federal court against the city, county, state. This is how it works. Alleging constitutional and civil rights violations by the police or even a corrections facility. And it's all done under the guise of law. Well, then they agree to the municipality then simply agrees to judicial finding without contest. The result is the imposition of regulations on local police. What I'm saying is the nationalization of police. In short, the much feared nationalization of local police departments is being already initiated by the Obama regime, their Justice Department, and it's being done right under our noses.